Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, so Marilat, we'll have him on later, says I'd rather go with the exciting guy. That's Drew Lock. Mikey says I'd rather go kind of hemmed and hawed, but at the end of the day, he said he'd go with...
Did he answer? That felt like a very typical Mike answer. I think I gave up by the time he got to the answer. I didn't hear it.
It really was kind of a yes or no.
What was his answer?
It was Bridgewater eventually.
Okay.
But you're right. He could have just said Bridgewater.
You should have asked him, Mike, Teddy or Drew?
Right. I think I tried to. I wasn't direct enough.
We talked about this yesterday, though. Every now and then you need a direct yes or no, right?
Right. So I think at the end of the day, Mr. Wedge Driver is going to go with Teddy, which of course is crazy because Mike's whole, you know, khaki pants philosophy should make him the biggest Drew Lock supporter ever.
Well, we really need to, when we ask this question, we need to ask it twofold. Who do you want and who do you think? Right? Because it's easy. I mean, I agree with James. I want Drew Lock for sure. Absolutely. I'm rooting for Drew Lock. That would be more exciting for all of us. Are you kidding me? You think it's going to be fun to cover 2nd and 7, 3rd and 6?
Do you
think that's what I want to cover this year with Teddy Bridgewater?
Get ready.
That's not what I want. It's just what I'm predicting.
Yeah, I mean, if you love the running game and offensive line play, you're going to love Teddy Bridgewater. If you're a huge fan of 2nd and 7, get ready to rumble. Teddy Bridgewater's coming to town. But then again... you know, if you want to go in the other direction, say, well, what are you, a big fan of interceptions and making stupid mistakes? Then, you know, you're a Drew Lock guy. And I would get it. You'd have enough ammo to go there, too. Pat Shurmur spoke today, talking about how Drew Lock has improved this offseason. Here we go.
Well, Drew obviously has made great progress from a year ago. You know, last year he kind of went into the season raw without having really an offseason. You know, and he worked his way through it, and, you know, he did a lot of good things last year. And I think he kind of, you know, built on the good things he did a year ago.
Okay. And then he breaks down his evaluation of the QB comp.
Well, I think they're both getting better. I think they both got in work with the ones. They both had a chance to really kind of share their workload with regard to the reps. See an improvement in Drew from decision-making, his timing, his accuracy. And then getting a feel again for Teddy, you can see the things he does well. You know, and for Teddy, it's more getting up to speed with what we've done. And then, you know, he's right on board with the new things that we're doing. So it's been good. And, you know, I'm sure Coach Fangio has probably talked about where this is, competition-wise. But we got a lot of work left before we play the opener. I think we built a really good foundation. Not only for the quarterbacks, but for the team going on training camp.
Can you imagine him as your head coach?
you're not inspired?
I wake up. You know how many meetings you have to go through in football? Seriously. Like, you know how many speeches you have to hear on a daily basis? I would guess on any given day, you have to listen to, at a minimum, 6 speeches, right? Mm-hmm. You've got your head coach with your first meeting of the day. You've got your offensive coordinator with your second meeting. You got your positional coach with your third meeting. You've got a little group huddle once you get out on the field. Right. You got your leader speech. And then you've got your post-game speech from the offensive coordinator and your post-game positional. 6. I guessed right. I think it literally is 6. Can you imagine every day having to listen to that? You walk in the building. You know, guys, I just thought that... Drew, he's picking up some things. It's a little bit better. It's really, really just exciting
stuff.
He's
like that all the time, too.
Yeah, you know, and Teddy just got to pick up the speed a little bit. You know, kind of like the way I speak. Just got to pick it up a little bit faster for me.
What do you do, Pat, in terms of how you pick a quarterback? How do you evaluate it?
Well, there's the hard data. You know, you want to get more completions, and you want less interceptions. You want more touchdown passes. I mean, all the hard data.
All right, so let's rewind. Here's what you want, Tyler. People say, "Oh, you guys should just be a coach or GM." Like, you know, we're too arrogant. You want touchdowns, and you want to stay away from interceptions.
Right. And you also want hard data. So for everybody out there yesterday who was mocking the scoring system that I'm telling you is real-life NFL scoring, that is your offensive coordinator telling you that, yeah, they want the hard data. Now, what's interesting about that, somebody asked me on the text line. I actually never got to him yesterday. I told you that that's how we would get graded for games, right? And somebody asked me, would you get a grade sheet every day for practice? No, we did not. But I always assumed that somebody upstairs was keeping score. I always assumed that somebody had a grade sheet, that every single day they would do that, and they would keep a running tally for the entire season. But we would only receive it for the games.
All right, well, listen, you're grading out the practice today. Cool. I can actually fill in the blanks if you want. Because my phone blew up in the last, series, but I remember what happened, basically.
Okay.
So I'm happy to fill in those blanks with you, and you can tell us how they graded out today. I mean, I'll be stunned if Teddy Bridgewater didn't wipe the floor with Drew Lock, but, hey, we'll find out.
Just say stay tuned.
Oh, really?
Stay tuned.
Okay, that's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
The grades are out. The consensus is that Teddy Bridgewater won the day. As I was taking notes on today, the heat, it was really warm out there. It was a little it was a little bit of a blast furnace because there was a bit of a breeze that wasn't a cooling breeze, more of a hot. It was a warmer day, tougher day today than yesterday. Both days pretty scorching, though.
Yesterday was like 103 degrees.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you forgot. I think it was so hot you just blacked it out.
It felt tougher today.
Really? Well,
my phone overheated today and it didn't yesterday
today
doing the same exact thing.
It was a little more muggy. I could see it.
Yeah, okay. I was doing the same thing in the same place at the same time. And anyways, my phone kind of went on the fritz because it overheated. So I never completed all the notes, which was the 11-on-11 team portion in the red zone. But during that portion, Drew Lock threw a ball out of bounds, like at a tight end, through the end zone. Teddy Bridgewater got a touchdown, beautiful touchdown pass, a floater to Jerry Jeudy on the left-hand side. Nice little toe tap touchdown. And then on the next play, and this is how practice essentially ended, Teddy Bridgewater had a run call for a touchdown, which to me felt a little odd, but okay. Like kind of a play action rollout, boot roll.
Got that in your notes. Did you get that?
Well, I came back when I finished my notes and I threw that in there.
Oh, okay.
But I just didn't list every single other play.
Okay.
But I did throw that in there, yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, this is interesting. So yesterday, if you missed the show, D-Mac went out there and he took great notes on every single play, broke it down, what happened. So I took his notes, played a little game of telephone, 3 degrees of separation. So definitely the grades are not accurate, but did the best we could. And I used an NFL grading system on the notes that D-Mac gave me for every single play. Real quick, I won't break it down as in-depth as I did yesterday, but if you missed it, it's a really simple grading system. This is how we all get graded in the NFL. It's a two-column system on every single play. You get a plus or you get a minus in each column. The first column is, did you do your job? Did you know your job? Excuse me. The second column is, did you execute your job? And then there's an extra credit column where you could get an extra plus one or an extra minus one if you did something great or if you did something bad. Yesterday, we had this raving report of Drew Lock that it was such a great day. Then we did the grades and come to find out that actually they had the exact same grade. It was fascinating. And there is no room for opinion in these grades. It's seriously a plus or a minus. That's all it is. So today, you said you don't have the entire practice on here, but I think you've got the majority of it.
I do. It's
right?
Just the last maybe 8 plays in the red zone that I didn't get.
Well, here's what's fascinating. So yesterday you said that it was definitely a Drew Lock day. Today,
yeah.
Definitely a Teddy Bridgewater day.
Right.
Right.
Can I explain why real quick?
Sure.
It felt more like a Drew Lock day and a dominating Drew Lock day because specifically there were 3 touchdown passes in the red zone. And Bridgewater had none. Not only did he have none, but he even overthrew a guy on fourth down when there was nothing to do but throw the ball or give yourself a chance. Even if it was knocked down or intercepted, it'd be better than just throwing the ball away. So it felt like that's how practice ended. It was like, oh, man. And the couple of throws that Drew Lock made for those touchdowns were, you know, tight, small windows, and he zipped it in there, and it looked good.
Yeah, well, here's what's fascinating about this. So practice or a game is never about the first quarter or about the fourth quarter. It's a start-to-finish deal. And when you grade it all out, here's what's interesting, man. Today, it's the exact same thing as yesterday. So I don't know if this means that your notes are bad. I don't know if this means...
Bridgewater had a rough start today.
Okay, so here's how it broke down, man. Teddy Bridgewater's grade on the day had 48 possible points.
Mm-hmm.
He got a 30 out of 48. He got a 62.5%, which is a bad day. That's a bad day. I mean, that's you're looking for a pink slip kind of day.
Okay.
And Drew Locke's day, he got a 34 out of 48. So he scored a 70% on the day. Neither one of them had fantastic days, but Drew Locke actually grades out higher. Now, again, this is 3 degrees of separation of your notes, watching practice, you know, kind of broken down by Richie, reading through the Da Vinci Code, and now me putting a grade on it. So this is definitely not 100% accurate. But here's what's fascinating about it is that if you go period by period, well, Drew won two of the periods that you've got on here.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater won one of the period. The rest of them were exact ties. Now, yesterday, you thought that Drew was going to run away with it because he had the finishing. He had the touchdowns, right?
Yeah, and then what appears to be more important situations.
Yeah, sure. But in reality, the grade didn't end up that way because he had a really bad period earlier in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing and this with this sheet today. Mm. Teddy Bridgewater probably did have a better day, but he had one really bad period, kind of like Drew had yesterday.
And it was early like Drew yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, in 7-on-7s, Teddy Bridgewater had a period where he went 8 out of 16. His score was 50% on that particular period. So, hey, man, interesting.
Yeah.
Your eyes, and you're right. Like, okay, when I look back on it yesterday, I probably was not fair in the way that I said it's all weighted equally. No, of course touchdowns mean something. Of course scoring and all those things mean more than 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
But the grade still comes out to what the grade is. There's no way to weight it, and that's not the way that it works in the NFL. But you've got your eyeballs, and you know what your brain tells you. Your brain is probably right that Drew won the day yesterday. Your brain's probably right that Teddy won the day today. But when you look at it all and you tally up every single play, not as clear cut as you would think. So fascinating to me that today Drew actually ends up with a better grade based off the notes that I've got.
That's wild. But Teddy was better in the red zone today.
Where was the red zone? Where's the red zone?
Well, see, that's where my phone blew up.
Oh, so I don't have those.
Right.
Right.
Right. So leading. Okay. So
I can only grade what I've got here.
Right. But here's what's probably fair. You could probably make the argument Drew was sort of trailing Teddy yesterday going into that red zone period. And then he had the best, you know, it was really good for Drew there. That probably was the same today. I think one thing that really threw people in terms of why they discounted Drew Locke today was because he did throw that interception, which was bad. Like, it was not just some sort of weird, it bounced off a guy's hand, whatever. It was just, like, bad. It was a bad decision. It was a bad throw. It was a pick six. It was bad. And that just really stands out to people. But Peyton Manning used to throw interceptions in practice all the time. All the time. But he wasn't going through a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
And so
you didn't need to grade it. You didn't need to concern yourself with it. But if
correct.
You're going through a battle, guess what?
Right.
It matters. It
right.
matters a whole lot more than when you're the guy.
Like, did you catch what Flores said about Tua down in Miami, who threw 5 interceptions?
I did
practice?
Not, no.
He just said, I'm encouraging him to be aggressive. And so there's really not a quarterback competition down there for Tua. They're encouraging him to make your mistakes, learn from them, and move forward. You're our guy. But that's not what we have going on here. We have a competition. So what do you do with that? And this whole concept of let's let this drag out until, you know, training camp and we don't have to make our minds up about it. Is that really the best way to operate? Or do you have enough information now to make that decision going into training camp? We'll dig into that next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hey, by the way, Rockies are tied up with the Padres right now.
Congratulations, Zach Bye.
Yeah, good for Zach Bye.
Zach's happy. Hey, man, he needed a lot of points, right?
A lot of points. Yeah, he needed
a lot of runs.
A lot of points in that Rockies game.
Don't they call runs points, something like that?
Similar. Sure. He had a pretty healthy over he was looking at. And,
well, it was 10. It was 10, and you got there in like the, the fourth inning?
Yeah, I think he kind of doubled down on his late during the game, which is fun to do.
Right.
But here we go. So
he had 14 runs. I think he got the over.
He did. And it's all tied up. Bottom nine. They did give up a run. Rockies did give up a run in the top of the ninth. But, they didn't let it sting them.
Hey, this is,
to win right here.
I know I give the Rockies a lot of grief, but this would be pretty cool if you could pull off a sweep against the Padres right now. I mean, here we go. You're in the ninth. You pull one off.
Story at the plate. Here we go. So if you just had nothing to do today and you thought sitting in 100-degree temperatures would be fun.
This is the most captivated I have felt by a Rockies game all year long, and I just started paying attention.
And the craziest thing is
Don't bring that high heat.
The craziest thing is how, like Zach Bye was pointing out earlier, the Rockies are actually a really good team at home.
Yeah, amazing.
Record-wise. Like, really good. Like, most teams would love to have their record at home, and they're, 5-27 or something on the road? I mean, like, just historically terrible.
Well, I know that every single year they've got a disparity in their home versus away games. That's nothing new, and we know the challenges that come with playing in Colorado, but how do you explain this year? I mean, seriously, how could you be that good at home and that horrendous on the road? That's not a normal Colorado Rockies disparity.
No, to the degree it's not. By the way, thank you, Texter, for showing us the heat index in your car at 116 degrees.
No, thank you.
116 degrees. Golly, man, what the hell? I hear you, D-Mac. Hate it when it gets hot like today. Cisco in Vegas. Rocking with you fellas all day long. All right, Cisco in Vegas.
Oof. Get the heck out of Dodge. What are you doing living in Vegas if you hate the heat?
I will see if the Rockies going to get a walk-off. They got the runner on first with no outs, and Chuck is at the plate. Trevor Story drew a walk. We'll see. Going into the break, asked, well, what other information do you really need to know? Now, what else is out there? And I do laugh that the rare times there's actually a quarterback competition that's legit. You always hear the same thing about how competition is good for everybody. But when there's not a competition at quarterback, which is the vast majority of time.
You mean on every good team?
Yeah. Well, even kind of on bad teams. I mean, who else is having a straight up 50-50 coin toss quarterback competition in the NFL right now? I doubt anybody is.
That's a really good question. Huh. Washington is not even 50-50 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. 50-50. We might be the only one.
Nagy said it's going to be Andy Dalton that starts, not Justin Fields. Not a competition
there. You go.
There.
That's probably your best example. Justin Fields is going to be your starter by week three, four,
but Nagy,
whatever.
But Nagy shut it down and just was like, Dalton's our guy. I mean, he was definitive.
But even that one's different because you're just talking about how long can Andy Dalton hold him off, right?
Correct.
It's not about who's really going to be the quarterback.
I'm
going to
guess, can anybody name one? Seriously. The Patriots? No, that's not a competition either. That's just getting Mac Jones ready.
No. Oh, I disagree on that one, actually. Well, yeah, eventually you're right. But
it's going to go to Mac Jones.
I think this year Cam Newton will start the majority of the games, if not all of them.
Fine. No problem. It's going to
eventually
be Mac Jones.
Sure.
Is it going to eventually be Drew Locke?
See, that's the problem.
Is it going to eventually be Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, that's a good question that you just brought up, and that leads you back towards all the Drew Lock supporters. They get so mad when you say that Teddy could win the job, because you're right. When people say that Teddy Bridgewater will not be your franchise quarterback, every single one of them is correct. Teddy Bridgewater might be your quarterback this year, and if he plays well enough, he might even be your quarterback for another year or two, but Teddy Bridgewater will not be your franchise quarterback. Yes, in theory, Drew Lock still could be your franchise quarterback. Now, he's got a long ways to go, and he's got to win the starting job this year before he's got a crack at it. But Drew's the only guy that you could say has an opportunity of being your franchise quarterback.
Correct. So it makes so much more sense to want Drew Lock to actually be the winner of this competition. So, okay, fine. What else do you really seriously need to know? But okay, how much are you setting yourself back by the time training camp starts if you don't make your mind up?
In a situation like this, not as much as you would think. It's not ideal. Hey, man, I wish that they could have named a starter before minicamp. If in a perfect world, you could have named it before minicamp, definitely before training camp. That's not going to happen. But you've got two average quarterbacks at their best. Shoot, I mean, when you look at the league-wide rankings, when you look at like Chris Sims or any of these guys that put together rankings of every starting quarterback, we end up at like number 32, 33, 34. There's only 32 starters in the NFL, right? Those are the two guys that we've got according to the majority of the list. So you're not going to have that big of a setback. The problem is, D-Mac, you say, what else do you need to know? Well, okay, we've only graded two practices, but based off the two practices that we've done, these guys are neck and neck. Absolutely neck and neck. So you say, what more do you need to know? Well, you need somebody to create some separation.
Okay.
And the only separation that has been created right now is that Teddy Bridgewater is not making the mistakes. That's it. Teddy has not had a single day where we've gotten reports, man, Teddy Bridgewater just blew them out of the water today. Right, that guy was balling out there. No, you just got Drew Lock threw an interception in the first period.
Right.
Drew Lock took two sacks or he ran the ball in 7-on-7, whatever it might be. We haven't gotten a single report of Teddy Bridgewater. Wow, hallelujah, we got Teddy.
You know, somebody has found another quarterback battle in the NFL.
Who?
I'll tell you. When we come back, and hopefully we come back with a Rockies walk-off. That's next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Rockies win! Rockies win! Rockies win! Rockies win!
Base hit up the middle. This will win it. Story turns it home. And the Rockies walk off the Padres and they sweep them.
Zach Bond's taking a sizzler. We going sizzler. Come on, Zach. Where are we going?
Rings on Zach Bond, everybody. All right, y'all. Good day. Good day. Oh, of course. Stupid over at 10. Come on. Give me a break.
You ever been to a real life sizzler? Huh?
I have.
You have?
I have.
I've only seen it in White Man Can't Jump. I've never actually been to a real life sizzler.
Yeah. I don't know if that's something.
Where do they exist?
I think it's the East Coast sort of thing, I guess.
Is it like a Golden Corral? Is it like a buffet?
You get the idea.
Okay.
Right.
We going to...
Right. Upscale Golden Corral.
Uh-huh.
Although, hey, who doesn't love a chocolate fountain?
Well, we know Mike does.
No doubt about that. So the Rockies complete...
Old D-Mac used to love the chocolate fountain.
Yeah.
Now you'll sit with the donut in front of you for 3 hours and you won't touch it because you're afraid you might die if you eat it.
I feel bad about that. I feel if you presented me in good graciousness a donut.
Richie went out on National Donut Day.
I get it.
Got us donuts, brought it in here.
I feel bad.
And delivered it to you. Put it right in front of you and you stared at it. Did you throw that away when I walked out of here?
No, I think I just left it here, but did I just leave it here, or did I throw it away?
Because I told Richie that was a test. I was going to see if you threw it away or if you left it. What did he do?
I don't really remember what I did.
I do want to say he left it, though.
He left it?
Throwing it away. I think it was something about, you know, Dan Jacobs might want this or something.
Oh, jeez. I could totally picture him saying that, too.
I don't know. Dan's... We talk about me in Orlando. You know, Dan Jacobs has dropped like over 125 pounds.
Good for him, man.
His goal was to lose a DMAC, right? That's
right,
what he keeps saying.
Right, hey, right.
A great way to lose weight is to get into barbecuing like he is. It's easy.
Sure.
Eat a lot of meat.
You can do it that way. What the hell?
Meat some veggies.
Veggies?
Hey, that's how the caveman did it. That's how I did it.
I'm looking at the Rockies here. It's crazy. Do you know there's only one team in the National League who has more wins at home than the Rockies? The Brewers. That's it. Oh, I'm sorry. The Cubs. The Dodgers have 23 wins at home. The Cubs have 24. And the Rockies have 23 wins at home. Are you kidding me? So if you were just looking at the top three teams in the National League with wins, which matters the most.
At home only,
it would be Cubs and Dodgers Rockies tied. That is crazy.
At least you can hang your hat on that.
And then the road, and we've done this before, but we go to the road and 5 wins on the road, 5-27. The next crappiest team on the road are the Diamondbacks at 9-29. But everybody else in the National League has at least double-digit wins on the road.
Hey, I got to tell you, seeing a full Rockies stadium, that has been so cool. Just seeing full stands, the beauty of that stadium, the way it's supposed to be. That is really, really cool, man.
You know, it's reopening day on June 28th.
Reopening day. I
know what you're saying. You're joking. But they're reopening on June 28th.
Right.
Like, it's going to
sell. Full opening day.
Sell out.
Yes, that's what I said.
I don't know. Uh-huh. What are you trying to say, Tyler? You're being smarmy, but what are you trying to say about the crowds at Coors Field?
No, I mean, honestly, in all sincerity, I can't wait for it. It's going to be an incredible deal. I love Coors Field is such an incredible experience, and it's like just a sign of life coming back,
right,
being able to see that. There was no snark in there at all.
All right, I'm a little sensitive, but okay. How about the 4th of July series?
There's a reason why that is such a well-attended stadium. It's not because of the baseball team.
You know, Ryan McMahon's being talked about for being an all-star.
Well, you were talking about Gomber, too.
Gomber, yeah, because look at his numbers. It's kind of course, at home. Bard, I don't know about Bard, but I think Ryan McMahon and Gomber are both going to be all-stars. And I'm sure Nolan's going to be an all-star, too. And it's going to be like Nolan mania, because the Cardinals come to town July 1st through the 4th. And then there's the all-star game right around the corner from then. So you're going to get the month of July will be dedicated to the Nolan Arenado show back at Coors Field.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating.
Hell yeah!
Are we excited about that?
Well, I'm going to be really curious to see what kind of response he gets.
Ah, it's going
to
be overwhelming.
Do you think it will be?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. The text line is a little bit more split on it than I would have ever thought.
You're kidding me.
No. You've had plenty of support in your Nolan hate. I think he will be celebrated, and the organization would be absolutely foolish to not go out of their way. I mean, I assume the Rockies have that power to have some sort of tribute in the middle of the All-Star Week
right? What do they
do? Have that kind of power? I mean, it's their stadium, right?
Do the Rockies on July 1st when Nolan comes back here, they can't do it during the All-Star game.
Well, I know, but during the week, during the festivities, just during Home Run Derby, during whatever. I mean, couldn't they do something?
That's a good question. I don't know what the rules are for stuff like that with All-Star stuff. I'm not sure. I don't know. But they certainly have control of what they do when he comes back here on July 1st.
I mean, yeah. Okay, so you do it then.
What do you do for Nolan?
Well, you realize that you lost that war in the PR. You just got to realize it. So this is not like an Aaron Rodgers situation where it is 50-50, or maybe even the majority of the fan base is mad at Aaron and not the team. The Rockies lost this war. So when Nolan comes back into town, you treat him with a red carpet.
Like over the top.
Over the top.
Right.
No doubt.
Right. And you fired Breidich, or he walked away or whatever.
Which,
it was.
Looking back on it, I'm like, if you were going to fire Breidich,
just do it.
Okay. It probably wouldn't have saved things with Nolan. He probably would have still been ticked off. He probably would have still wanted to get a trade.
Right.
But if you were going to fire Breidich, why wouldn't you have at least tried that?
It's a good question.
Hey, we're going to fire him. Let's just see if this makes Nolan happy.
We're going to do it anyway.
Let's just experiment. Let's just see what happens.
oh, no, let's get rid of Nolan and then fire the guy that Nolan hates the most.
Right.
That is as if.
That's like Brian Gutekunst getting fired in 6 months.
It's insane. Do you think firing Gutekunst, is that how you say it, by the way?
I don't know.
It was close.
I do the best I can. Yeah. If you say it fast, people don't question you, but then right. You question me, and now everybody knows that I don't know.
I mean, it was like Ojemudia Okawebanom. If you're going to stick to it, let's just keep going down that road.
That is barely English, and English is hard enough for me. Mm-hmm. So, like, just have my back I struggle with English.
Do we all just want to say Gutekunst?
I said it wrong. You didn't say it the same way that I did.
Say it again.
Gutekunst.
Gutekunst.
You got to be careful.
I know. You got to be so careful.
Get us a pronunciation.
Can we just
find us on the... There's got to be somewhere out there. We talk about him enough. We should probably know his name by now.
I'm tempted just to call him Gouda.
I just call him Brian. Gouda.
Can we just stick with Gouda?
I could think of another one, but yeah.
Let's just stick with Gouda.
Probably not Bonneville friendly.
Probably not. I'm not exactly sure where that would be friendly. Maybe, if we're tuning into Stokely after dark or something, that would be all right.
Stokely, good follow on Twitter after 9 p.m.
Video tribute, nothing more, nothing less. I don't know. I think you're right, man. You cannot go wrong PR-wise, if you go over the top and Nolan comes back here. You really can't go wrong.
Well, you just got to realize that you lost the war. You lost the battle. The fans are mad at you.
Right.
You do not look like the good guys in this situation. So
Overcompensate. Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
He was the best guy ever. Best dude. No problems. Look at all these great memories.
Right.
Hey, man, when you go in the hall, you should be a Rocky.
Right.
You know?
Right. I agree with you. Go over the top.
Like, I thought it was ridiculous. I don't care what hard feelings there were. I always thought it was ridiculous that it took as long as it took to get Mike Shanahan back in the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Yep. I mean, you're talking about the greatest coach in franchise history. That's who he is.
He's still not in the Ring of Fame.
There? I wondered about that one for a while. Now I don't think there's an excuse, but for a long time I was like, well, is he still trying to coach? You know, if he's still actively pursuing head coaching jobs, mm-hmm. you probably can't put him in the Ring of Fame just yet, I think. I don't know. Maybe you can.
It's been more than 5 years since he's been out of the coach in the NFL.
Look, I think Mike could be a head coach and he could be successful, but I don't think that he's pursuing that any longer. So you're probably pretty safe at this point.
Yeah. But, I mean, forget that. I mean, how long did it go before Mike could just come back and walk onto, like, the practice field?
It was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, for the first time in forever.
I don't care what drama there is. When you've got an all-time great like that, you celebrate him.
Yeah. What else would you do besides a video tribute for Nolan, though?
Probably not much.
What else would there be?
I don't think you have to do much more than that, but you do have to acknowledge him in a public forum. And I think if you've got control of the Jumbotron, you could put something on. And I'm talking about the All-Star game now. But...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who gets to make the rule. Hey, listen, we're happy to find out. It's going to be exciting for the Rockies to be hosting the All-Star game. And that's where we can watch guys either strike out or hit home runs, because that's baseball. Oh, really quick. I'm watching a podcast with Bill Simmons. He had Theo Epstein on. And Epstein, is working with Major League Baseball to try to make the game better. Check this idea out. And I always say, if you want, what you should do with the sport is it should operate as if it was invented yesterday. Yeah. So the worst thing about baseball, it's slow and boring. And the whole cheating thing was basically on science.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that today. The whole sticky deal, that is fascinating.
It's crazy, isn't it?
These pitchers that are now complaining about getting injuries and everything because they can't cheat anymore.
Right.
They're publicly complaining that they're not allowed to cheat.
They're complaining they have to change their arm slots and they have to do things to compensate for what they have been doing since like 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, huh?
Who was it? Gosh, I heard somebody yesterday. I wrote it down even. I took a note because I wanted to bring it up.
Well, my guy Trevor Bauer was, speaking out against Major League Baseball, but quite a few people have. That was a wild one to hear them just say it's more dangerous to pitchers to, not cheat anymore.
Right. said we can't use sticky stuff, so we have to overcompensate with our throwing motion. And now our fastballs, right. We got the ball deeper in our hand than we used to.
Right.
All sort of stuff like that, right?
That's right.
So we're publicly talking about sticky stuff. What is sticky stuff? What is that? Some people use sunscreen. Some people.
Correct.
What else
like Trevor Bauer demonstrated on video. If he puts on sunscreen, just sunscreen that you would wear normally.
Right.
And you
can't get in trouble for that.
You cannot.
Yeah.
And you have a rosin bag, which you're allowed to have on the mounds, which helps to dry your hand off. If you just simply mix sunscreen with the rosin bag, all of a sudden your hand becomes like flypaper.
Got it. So how do you stop that?
Bauer demonstrated by just holding with a flat palm with a baseball stuck to his palm, just like holding it there, just without putting his fingers around it, just holding it there.
If that's what it is, and I heard guys talking about that, so I know it is. How do you prevent guys from putting sunscreen on, wiping their arm?
You can't. Now, right? That's the whole problem. That's what Bauer is complaining about. Now it's subjective it's not objective. It's subjective to the umpires. And you could face a 10-game ban if they decide that you were using sticky stuff. It's ridiculously vague. And the reason why this sticky stuff came along.
What's the spider tech deal that they're talking about? That was like the next level stuff.
There's a wide variety of sticky stuff.
Right.
It's just all sorts of. So that's the simplest thing, suntan and rosin, which are eligible for everybody. But yeah, you could come up with your own sticky stuff. And the reason why the sticky stuff is different than like a spitball or something like that is pitchers in the past, Tyler, are always trying to change the way the ball would spin. What the sticky stuff does is change the spin itself. It gives you more spin.
Yeah.
So this is relatively
new. So your fastballs are moving like sliders.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they're breaking more, they're breaking later, and you just want that ball on your fingertips as long as humanly possible, and that's the spin rate, which is relatively new. Relatively. I'm talking like 2014. But now every pitcher in Major League Baseball, Tyler, every single pitcher uses it.
Has there ever
Everyone
been a sport
does.
With more like socially acceptable cheating?
It's crazy, right?
The various stages of cheating that baseball has been through.
It's wild.
Unbelievable.
So this is the sticky stuff right now. The Theo Epstein, what he suggested in terms of a different rule. Check this out. See if you like it or not. Put a communication device like a headphone or something in a pitcher's hat. And we'll do away with calling signals with the catcher, and somebody will just call signals from the dugout. And he'll just hear it, kind of like a quarterback in the NFL. That's it.
Well, I'm trying to think about what advantage could you gain as a pitcher now by having that in your head. Is there anything that you could gain from?
No, it would just make the game way faster. Because you wouldn't have to go through a series of signals. You wouldn't have to change the signals if a guy's on second base.
Well, hold on. But now, what if you pick up on the third base coach's signals? That you know what his signals are. You know that he signaled that they was going to steal. And now you've got somebody in the dugout that says, hey, pitcher, you got to pick them off. They're going to steal.
I'd be fine with that. Like a heads up. Like a coach is talking to the quarterback like throughout
right.
the play. That who cares? That's fine.
Okay, so now what you got to do, if you want to do that, you got to do it like the NFL, where in the NFL, you've got, the first 15 seconds, I believe, of every play, you can talk to the quarterback, and then it shuts off.
Sure.
And once you get to, I don't know, whatever the time period is,
there's a 20-second pitch clock, and that should be like 15 seconds.
But not really. There's like this vague just
right.
20 seconds that you're supposed to
It exists. Like, if you go to Coors Field, you will see a clock. That is counting down from 20 on every single pitch, but nobody pays any attention.
How about enforce that? I would just start with that.
Right. I thought it was an interesting idea to put, so the pitcher just can hear the signal. The catcher doesn't call it. The pitching coach or somebody else is just calling the pitches, which is very common, by the way, up until you get to professional baseball. That's not unusual.
That's interesting, though, because if you do that, you're going to take the catcher out of the game. He's no longer going to be calling the pitches. You're going to have your...
Well, so what?
Fine.
It'll speed
it's just
up the game.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, well, for the better, because you won't be able to cheat like the stupid Astros, and everything will just happen faster. Fastball.
Anytime you bring technology in, though, just creates a new way to cheat.
Well, that'd be something if the Astros were intercepting the communication signals and they had their own speakers in their helmets.
I mean... Would it be that crazy to think
no.
that you could figure out what channel they're on?
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. It's 5 o'clock. Denny Bridgewater with our guy Mike Kliss. How's that quarterback competition been?
No, honestly, man, it's been fun. I walked into the situation and, you know, I told Drew and Brett that, listen, you guys are going to play this game for a long time. I'm going to keep playing. At the end of the day, we all can learn from each other. You know, of course, you compete. It's going to make the team better. It's going to make you better as a team and as a person.
You buying that or not? Is it fun out there for Teddy Bridgewater, Tyler?
Sure. I mean, football's fun. I believe that Teddy's having fun. And truly, some of my best friends in life, you probably don't believe this. Ryan Harris is a great example. Some of my absolute best friends in life are guys that I was competing with for a job for years and years. I mean, Ryan and I, we fascinating, man. I mean, we had like almost identical stories, except for he's not a native, so I'm a little bit cooler than he is. And, you know, Ryan, sorry, you're not a native. But Ryan starts his career with the Broncos, comes back to the Broncos. He kind of bounced around a few teams. We were competing against one another. He always won, but we are really, really close friends in life. So I believe that Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke could be really close friends. They could be helping out one another. You know, is there something in the back of your mind about your opinion of your opponent? Of course, there always is. And you're probably not going to be a very talented or good professional athlete if you don't believe that you're the better of the two. So there's always going to be something in the back of your mind that you look at that guy like, oh, dude, I mean, really, I'm competing with you. But you can develop great camaraderie. Is it as fun as being the dude? No, of course not. You always want to be the dude. I mean, I am the dude. The dude abides.
Meanwhile, today, Jerry Jeudy caught a touchdown pass.
You don't have to abide to the dudes that are in the dude battle.
No,
you abide to the dude.
Of course you abide to the dude. What else would you do?
Yeah.
The dude.
Ultimate dudes.
He's looking for some Big Lebowski dudes.
Just want my rug back.
It was a simple story. In the beginning.
Yeah. I cannot believe that you don't like that movie. I mean, knowing your type of comedy and who you are,
right,
that seriously feels like a movie that you should like.
I'll give it another shot.
It actually, like, my respect level for you is significantly lower because you don't like The Big Lebowski.
You're right, though. I do, in general, like movies like that. I don't know what it is.
All right. This is like a homework assignment now, because now I want to know the reasons why you don't like The Big Lebowski.
You know what? I will go through and watch it, and I'll
give me a report like you did on minicamp.
I'm taking notes, and I'll point out like when it loses me.
Okay. I want to know this.
In general, I should like it.
Yes.
But I always,
you're going to watch it and you're going to realize, boy, Tyler is right. This is a legendary movie. And yeah,
what happens with the Big Lebowski? It's kind of like there's movies that they're remote droppers. Like, for example, Shawshank is a remote dropper.
Sure.
If you're watching Shawshank and you can come in at any point and that's it, it's over.
The entire world agrees, top five movie, right?
Right. You just got to watch the rest of it, no matter where you start it. To me, like, the Big Lebowski is the exact opposite. Like, I'll see it in the middle of it. I'll try to hang in there, and it just loses me. Like, it's the reverse remote dropper.
Mm.
But maybe I got to start from the beginning and really give it a fair shot.
Well, it is a story.
Right. I don't know why, man. I like all the actors in it. I like the director of it. I like quirky stuff. I know. Like, I like Brother, Where Art Thou? Which, you know, hang in there on that one.
I do not like that one.
You know,
all,
like,
I know is this aggression will not stand.
Hold on a second.
I mean,
seriously, this
disrespect and this aggression that you've got towards the Big Lebowski, it will not stand, man.
How do you like the Big Lebowski and you don't like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's the same kind of movie.
I probably need to watch that one again, I guess. If you're telling me, all right, I mean, give and take here. If you're telling me you will watch Big Lebowski again, I will watch that one again.
I mean, I'm not shoving Oh Brother, Where Art Thou on you, because I get it. It's quirky. I mean, I understand why most people wouldn't like it.
I saw it one time. I haven't seen it again. I don't really have any real memories of it. I don't know a quote. Like, I don't have, like, a single scene that pops out from that movie in my mind. It didn't stick out to me.
Well, you weren't using enough pomade.
Ah.
Yeah. Same.
Okay. So anyways,
the reports today are that Teddy Bridgewater won. practice. We did grade things out, and again, my phone like went on the fritz later on because of the heat index. But overall, when you grade it out, it was like, oh, well, hold on a second. Really, up until the final session, Teddy Bridgewater was losing to Drew Lock today. And then, you know, Teddy had a solid performance late in practice, and Drew didn't. Drew had a bad interception today. Teddy, in a very similar situation, which there was pressure, the play wasn't happening. Teddy just threw the ball in the dirt and just walked away from the play. Drew forced a pass to the sideline, and Justin Simmons got what would have been a pick six if you're playing that game. In the red zone, Drew was not able to score any touchdowns, or in fact, not only that, but he made a pretty bad overthrow on a guy who was open in the back of the end zone. Whereas Teddy Bridgewater got a touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy, as we talked about, and ran for a touchdown on a called run play for the quarterback. So maybe the comeback from Teddy would have equaled things up if I really was able to record every single snap because my phone blew up.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think the vast majority, you will not find anybody today. You won't find one person that said, oh, Drew Lock had a better day than Teddy Bridgewater. Whereas yesterday, you found plenty of people that said Drew had a better day than Teddy.
We did. I think the majority of people said that Drew won the day. Who else was as positive as you were yesterday, though? I mean, looking back on it, Troy Rank gave some complimentary. He had some good comments about Drew Lock yesterday. Probably was as close to you as anybody that I talked to.
Liz had good comments about it.
But did he feel the same way as you? And I'm honestly asking.
I didn't talk to Mike. I talked to Mike actually at length before the practice, but not afterwards. So
okay.
He was moving on to his Mike-less one-on-one stuff.
Well, here's the problem is that if Drew Lock's going to win the job, when he has days that he is better, it needs to be a landslide. Like when you came in here and you gave your report and I was listening to Stokely and Zach and I heard you go on air and you were ranting and raving about what a great day it was. I'm not making fun of you now. I'm being serious. Those are the type of days that Drew Lock has to have if he's going to win because he's losing the majority of the days. So when he wins, it has to be so much better, significantly. Like the margin has to be huge. That it's just night and day that Teddy, you don't have it in you to have the type of day that Drew Lock had today, right? Because so far, I think we talked earlier and we said we've had seven practices that the media has been at, six or seven, something like that. And we've got one day that the entire media, as a consensus, has said that Drew Lock won the day.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be trailing like that, when you win, you better have a pretty big margin of error. Not margin of error. What's the right word there?
Victory.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
see,
I
told you English.
Felt like Drew had that day yesterday. That's what it looked like to me. But it certainly didn't look like that today. I mean, not even close.
So, okay, talk to me about the margin of victory for Teddy Bridgewater today.
You know, when I saw a texter write this, and they're so smart out there, you guys, it's not about Teddy winning it. It's about Drew losing it. And I think that's pretty accurate. Like, mm-hmm. Teddy is kind of the same. I've seen, what now, five of these practices with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock during this part of the year? Five? Teddy Bridgewater's been the same dude every single time. Drew hasn't. Drew has his ups and downs. Teddy is, he's steady Teddy. Steady Teddy two gloves. He's the same guy. In and out. I mean, you know, I was sitting next to Evans and Marilat, and Jimmy will join us here in a little bit. And it really was, there were moments of like, boy, get ready for second and seven, y'all.
All right, it's funny because you brought up old Jimmy and you said that he told you today that he wants the excitement.
He does.
Let's go. I want the guy that is going to have the ups and downs. I'll ride with it. If you got three interceptions, I don't care. Just give me three touchdowns as well.
Right.
Give me a reason to watch football. You're a head coach of the Denver Broncos. Do you want the dude that you know who he is every day or do you want the roller coaster?
You want the dude you know who's going to be the guy every day.
And what's funny about Teddy Bridgewater is that Drew Lock just has so many mistakes that we've kind of not talked about Teddy Bridgewater's mistakes, and he makes a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
He does. You look back on his season last year, he had 11 interceptions.
Well, I know
that's
why.
Not good. And how many touchdowns did he have? I bet it was, I don't know off the top of my head. I'm going to guess Teddy Bridgewater had 15 touchdowns to 11 interceptions.
I think
it was not good. It was definitely not a 2-to-1 ratio. It was definitely not something that you're celebrating. He just doesn't make as many mistakes as Drew Lock. 15 to 11?
Yep. Point. 69.1 completion percentage.
I had seen it at some point, but.
So check that out. High completion percentage. So that's a lot of short throws, short and safe.
Yeah.
And the problem is, and we can see it right now, if you're trailing with Teddy Bridgewater, you're in big trouble.
True.
He's not the comeback kid. He's steady Eddie as it goes. He'll get you in the right position. Now, he was missing Christian McCaffrey for the vast majority of the year last year. And trust me, that is a huge factor. For example, watching Melvin Gordon catch some passes today, Tyler. Fantastic. Very effective. Will absolutely work. It's clear you've got to throw Melvin Gordon the ball more. And Javonte Williams, hopefully he has those skills. But we know Melvin Gordon has those skills, and they will be utilized, my man. One way or the other with either guy, but especially with Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You got a guy. But the 69.1, I mean, we'd have to look at some advanced stats, but my guess is the vast majority of those completions are 5 to 10 yards.
Probably. I mean, that's who he is. He takes... It's funny. Here we are. We're kind of knocking that. But at the same time, what was the conversation? Remember when we had Brian Griese on in the middle of the year and Brian comes on, he says, look, Drew, it's pretty simple. He's going for the home run or nothing. At some point, he's got to learn to take the profit,
right.
take what is in front of you.
Right.
And we're sitting here asking him, hey, man, just take the 6-yarder, take the 8-yarder, give us some progression, keep the down and distance manageable. And now that's the knock on Teddy. And we're acting like, boy, that's going to be so boring. But that's what we were asking for last year. Am I wrong?
No. The year before in 2019, he didn't play in a whole lot of games there for the Saints, but I think he was 5-1. He had 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completion percentage of 67.9.
That's who he is.
This is who he is. So, So to me, it's easy to make your mind up. Like, I don't know what you are going to have one every 3 or 4 practices where Drew Lock actually rises up and has a moment. Probably. You most likely will have some sort of percentage like that during training camp. But you're going to have day in, day out during training camp, the exact same thing out of Teddy Bridgewater. It's checkdowns, it's short passes. It's floaters to open guys.
So, you know what it really is with Teddy? We have way oversold this. He's the safe guy. He makes mistakes. He does, as we just pointed out. But what he is he's consistent with the down and distance. He keeps it manageable. As a play caller, you're like, okay, I know that if I put Teddy out there, if I call a play on first down that is supposed to pick up 4 yards, well, he's going to get me 3 to 5 yards. And I feel pretty good about that. And then I've got a game plan in the back of my mind about what I'm going to call on second down. But I'm not going to get off schedule. I'm not going to have to try to overcompensate. It's not going to be 2nd and 12 now or 2nd and 10. It's going to be 2nd and 6. You know what you're going to call.
All right, I have a horrible homework assignment for Richie and Kevin. Can you guys look up what the game situation was last year with the Panthers when Teddy threw his 11th interceptions? And my guess is, this is totally a guess.
Wait, be more specific. What do you mean by that?
That his team was trailing and he had to force things. The interceptions didn't come early in the games when he was just managing the games.
Okay.
The interceptions came with pressure, whereas Drew Lock would throw an interception. I mean, you know, it's
the first series of the game.
Right. When you don't have to, that sort of thing. James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. It was great hanging out with DenverFan.com's James Merrillat at practice today. Hi, Jimmy. What's going on?
What's happening, fellas?
Where are you?
In his bathroom. He's putting a floater out there.
I'm in my basement.
He's throwing a Teddy Bridgewater floater.
I'm where I always do the show.
Oh, it just sounds so different. It's just you're on a different contraption today.
Contraption?
No, same old, same old.
Really?
What's going on?
Yeah, it sounds weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys sound great.
Well, thank you, James.
No problem.
Let Kevin try to reconnect you, okay, Jim? Right, real quick.
Jimbo.
Okay. And let's see if we can't get that. Just, I mean, if it is what it is, fine. But if there's a way to make it a little better, we should probably try. James looked great today, though. He always dresses good.
Why does James have the same diet, but he doesn't look like he's starved?
Do I look like I'm starved?
Yeah.
Well, that was the look I was going for. I did say I wanted to look like I was looking for a bus in Alaska.
So James is living proof that you could be on that diet and not look like you're starving?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I guess so, because we are very similar to what we're doing. I mean, we're almost identical. Yeah. I think it's got to do with the fact that, let me think about this. He is incredibly better looking than I am in general.
It doesn't hurt.
Like, you think of, oh, you lose a lot of weight, you're going to look better, which what you look is just different. You really don't look better.
But see, you've got a weird look where, like, your previous look, I felt like if I stuck my finger in there, like, it might not come out.
Yeah.
And now I feel like even though, like, you're that skinny, twice as skinny as I am, I still sort of feel that way. Like, if I stuck my finger in there, it's still pretty soft.
I tell you, I was definitely off the wheels with Peter and Eileen and Ipswich over the weekend.
Nothing like skinny shaming, is there?
Oh, my God. James Merrillat, you there?
Here. I'm here.
All right. Stands the same. All right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. What did you think of practice today overall?
You know, it wasn't exactly scintillating. It was pretty ho-hum. I agree with, you know, what you guys were saying or what you were saying, D-Mac. I think Teddy won today, but watching the race today, I don't know if you're familiar with that Seinfeld episode where Costanza's got the little rascal and he's, you know, racing the old guy down the street in a little scooter.
Yeah.
That's what this race feels like to me. It's like, yeah, I guess somebody's leading. Somebody's going to win. But, yeah, it wasn't exactly a barn burner today. We'll put it that way.
Why did Teddy win? Why is it obvious that he won?
He just made less mistakes today. And you know what? The other thing, though, the deck was stacked in his favor today. I mean, Drew was out there with a bunch of guys that we were looking on the sheet to find out what their names are. And then some of them weren't even on the sheet. They're like the tryout guys. So, you know, the tight end that he overthrew in the red zone drill, that was a guy that, you know, wasn't here 24 hours ago.
Right.
So he, you know, he wasn't working with the A team a lot. But, you know, Teddy was better today. He was. He didn't make any big mistakes. He didn't have a big pick. And he threw the touchdown. So he had the highlight, and Drew had the low light. So, therefore, you got to say that Teddy was better today.
Yeah, the problem was, like, Drew's interception wasn't a shrug your shoulders, shizzle happens interception. It was, like, hesitates, doesn't see the play, nothing there. Now you're forcing something. Now it's a pick six. Like, it was just like, wow. You just made a bad situation 100 times worse, and now we're trailing when we don't need to be trailing. Because it's not like they were
trifecta of bad decisions.
It was kind of the ultimate. I mean, James, help me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of the ultimate bad decision.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was. It's kind of one of those plays, though. It was like, is that a training camp play? Because in a game, he would have been sacked. What, you know, kind of what would have gone on with that? Because he held the ball forever. So yeah, you're right. It was just one of those and it's what Pat Shurmur was talking about after practice in his press conference when he's evaluating quarterbacks. It's, you know, are the mistakes catastrophic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a pick six is a catastrophic mistake, right? If you take a sack because you hold the ball too long or you miss the open guy and you check it down, like, yeah, those are mistakes, but, you know, some of them you don't even notice. And hey, worst case scenario, you're punting and away you go. When it's 6 points the other direction, that's pretty bad. You know, Teddy did have some passes today, though, especially early, D-Mac, where he was just off target.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw a particularly good ball. He doesn't. I mean, Drew Lock throws a much better pass. If you're just going on aesthetics, I mean, it's Drew Lock all day long, in terms of just the kind of looking the part and being able to throw all the passes and all that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's, you know, one guy's Space Mountain and the other guy's the People Mover. Give me Space Mountain. That's more fun. You know, the People Mover. You know, I think Vic's more of a People Mover guy.
James, you were out there yesterday also, right?
Or no, no,
no, no. It's the only second time I've been out there.
Okay, well, compared to the other day that you were out there, give me the margin of victory. Like, what did it look like in comparison to other days? Because that's what I'm trying to really get a feel for. Now I know yesterday was the only day that the majority of the media is saying that Drew won, so you weren't out there for that one. But the day that you were out there, what did today look like in comparison?
Well, I thought today was pretty close. The other day I was out there was the day Teddy hit Jerry Jeudy on the really nice deep ball for a touchdown. That was kind of a wow moment, right? That was when you're like, whoa, that was actually more Jerry Jeudy, just like, geez, he had a whole other gear there because nobody thought he was going to get to that pass.
Right.
But that was That was a kind of get out of your chair sort of a play. There was nothing like that today. So I would look, none of them have been secretariat in the Belmont. None of the days have been that way. They've been pretty nip and tuck and pretty close. But both times I've been there, Teddy was better than Drew. I would say that day with the Jerry Jeudy long touchdown, it was a bigger margin that day. Today was actually pretty close. I think I'm in the minority on that. I didn't think it was this runaway, but like I say, one guy had the highlight, the other guy had the low light.
So why, if both days that you've been out there, you say that Teddy played better, why are you saying today that you want Drew Lock?
Because he just brings so much more to the table. It's not a runaway victory. It's just a, you know, Teddy's been steady. I mean, that's kind of poetic for him. But give me the guy that can make some plays. And I think in a controlled environment like camp where it's, hey, go on the script, yeah, it's designed for Teddy Bridgewater to look better. But I think when you get in the games and you got to make some plays and not everything goes well, I think Drew Lock is going to play better. And I'm willing to live with the mistakes. I am. I just, you know, the 5 straight years of bad football and boring football. I know Drew was a big part of them last year, but give me the guy that's got some upside. Because here's the big thing, Tyler. I don't know what the end game is with Teddy Bridgewater. To me, it puts you 8-9, 9-8, and that's D-Mac's just worst case scenario. Because now you're drafting what, 20?
You're right.
I just think that's the awful place to be. I'd rather be 5-12. I really would, because I think you do have the chance. Though if it clicks with Drew, he could be 11-6 if everything goes well. So I like the upside. Give me the upside all day.
You
long.
Know what? Just processing this and thinking about it. Well, I can make a bold prediction right now. I bet, as obvious as it seems, to start Teddy Bridgewater, okay, for a lot of obvious reasons, I bet they don't. I bet they do realize there is a potential upside. I bet you they realize with the Giants, Jags, and Jets, we could not have a better, softer opening on the season. And I bet you they start Drew Lock with a very short rope. And they try to see, because they can always go. They can always go to Teddy Bridgewater.
They can always go to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I bet you they try to see what they can get out of Drew Lock and just have a quick hook if they need to. And once he gets the quick hook, it's done. Then it's Teddy Bridgewater the rest of the season.
Yeah. You can always go to the veteran. It's tough to go back to the younger guy. But here's the other thing. They should be able to make this decision now. It's really
right, agreed.
Yeah.
There's like, nothing else. There's nothing else to think about.
Well, hold on. No. I got to challenge you on that, because each one of you have sat here and said that Teddy Bridgewater has played better. So how do you make a decision, specifically if you're going to make the decision for Drew Lock, how do you make the decision today if you're acknowledging that the other guy is playing better?
They should know what their philosophy is in terms of, hey, here's what we need out of our offense. We need every drive to end in a kick. Even if it's a punt, we just need it to end in a kick, because you know what? Make teams go 80 yards against this defense, and we're going to try and beat you 17-13, and Teddy's our guy. If it's a, hey, you know what? We're going to take some chances. It may lead to some mistakes, but we got a good enough defense to recover from that. But you know what? We need somebody out there who's going to make some plays off schedule. Then it's Drew. Like, they should know that now. There's nothing that's going to happen during training camp or the preseason that is going to be different for either one of those guys. Drew's not going to get, way more careful with the football and make less mistakes, and Teddy's not going to turn into some dynamic player. Right. They know what they are.
It's done.
Yeah.
All right, James. And we'll probably read all about it at denverfan.com, right?
That is a preview of my column for tomorrow.
There you go. Look at that. Thank you, James. We'll talk to you later. Awesome. DenverFan.com's James Merrillat, Jimbo, he loves all those names, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. I got to play a Garrett Bowles in his eyes closed comment. I think he takes snaps. Boy, maybe I heard it wrong.
But I hope you heard it wrong. I can't wait to hear this.
All right. We'll play it for you. Plus, you got a question for Tyler. Mount Palumbus Peak is next.